Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and it's always blessed to be with you this morning. Grateful, Lord, that God has given us another day. Mother Valerie, good morning. Good morning, my sister in Christ, my mother in Christ, my friend in Christ. What a day. We got some great word of Testament Friday. Ah, it is good. Isaiah is going over some things. We know Isaiah was the prophet of Hezekiah. He was a prophet that spoke to Hezekiah on behalf of the Lord. And it was, oh my, it was good. It was real good. And all I can say is, God does not play. He does not play. He gets us where we need to go and takes us where we need to. And the word that he gave me this morning is coming out of Isaiah chapter 38. And it says, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will deliver you. Because what did Hezekiah do? He prayed. He prayed. He trusted God. He didn't lean on his own understanding. He trusted God, and God guided and led him and helped him. And he does the same for you. He does the same for me. So all I can say is, it is a thing with me. A great word this morning. I love the Old Testament, and I really am starting to truly love Isaiah. He is amazing. He is amazing. And Mother, I would like, if you don't mind, if you would read chapter 35, I'll come back into chapter 36 and 37 and then give you 38, and then I'll be back again for chapter 39 and 40. And that way we'll be all set and Mother will get to read the exciting parts of the word. And I get to read about the old Rob Secker and his old messy self. you know, I remember reading this in Second Kings, and I thought, oh my goodness, you go sit and talk trash to God. What in the world is wrong with you? It is, I just can't do nothing more than shake my head. When folks think they're so powerful, when folks think they can do whatever they want to do and talk trash, they don't understand. You are setting yourself up for a fall because God don't play. And we know because we've read about this already, he wasn't done getting killed when he goes home by his children because he's a mess. You know, you don't come into God's house, God's people, and show out because God will put you on your behind. We got to work the work that God calls us to work. But anyway, Mother, let us pray in and let us get started. We got a lot of word this morning in this Old Testament Friday. We will be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35 through chapter 40. And we're going to let God lead us, guide us, and we're going to go forth in the word of God. Because, when I was looking at chapter 35, I'm like, this is totally a mama chapter. You know, because you got that voice that would say, hold on. Behold, your God will come with Jesus. It's like, mama's like, I'm not playing. I got words to say. And she don't play. She is good, isn't she, y'all? I'm so glad, Mother, that you have come back. We have missed you a lot. You were very much missed. And I just want to tell you, I am so grateful that you are here, that you are working with me, and that we are doing our assignment, taking God's word into the nation. So thanking God for you, and I'm going to let you pray us in and pray us out this morning. So Mother's going to pray us in, you know, and I just say thank you, thank you, thank you again. I turn it over to Mother Valerie. Again, good morning, Mother.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
How are you this morning? Can you hear me? Mother,
good morning.
Can you hear me all right? Yes, good morning.
No, you haven't unmuted me.
Actually, yes, I have. You are unmuted. You are on the line. And you just hung up. Okay, we need to get Mother back, y'all. Hold on just a minute. There she is.
Good morning. Oh, now you unmuted me. Good morning.
There, we
I was waiting for you to unmute me. I even
had to unmute it before we even started. But thank you so much, Mother. Good morning. Again, how are you?
I'm good. I'm fine. We got today it's going to rain. Everything looks dark outside. It's overcast and dark. So we're going to have some rain this morning.
That's what it's saying.
I'm
actually, it's saying it's raining now, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for this day. For this is a rainy day, and we praise you for waking us up. We thank you, God, with a grateful heart. We are so grateful for all the things that you do. I thank you for the rain. I love you, Jesus, and I just thank you for who you are in our lives. Bless this lesson. Help us to pronounce your words of the Old Testament, and just be with Pastor Jesse, Pastor Bridget, all your pastors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm coming out
Amen.
Of fear in 35:1, 36:22. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellence of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Sometimes, Lord, our hands are weak. And make firm the feeble knees. Our knees do get feeble. Sometimes we can't even walk up and down them steps at the church. We used to have a little chair that would take us down. But now the children, you know, they broke the chair playing with it. They had so much fun with that chair. And make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He'll come and he will save you. He will save you. I will deliver you. That's our message. Pray to God. He'll come. He'll deliver you. He'll save you. Oh, I can hear the rain now. It is raining. Wow. I'm glad I'm not going out. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. Tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Cursed ground shall become a pool. The thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, they shall be grass and reeds and rushes. Highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Isn't that something? To be on a road called highway of holiness. My God, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Even a fool can get on that holy highway and they won't go astray. My goodness gracious me, a highway of holiness. You shall not fear. God is with you. You on a road of highway of holiness. Go on, God. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, God's children. We are the children of the redeemed of the Most High God, and we're going to walk on a highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and signs shall flee away. It shall not be on that highway of holiness. Highway of holiness. That is so beautiful. God always thinks about his children. He's always doing things for us. So, you know, it's such a little thing to give God praise and honor, because he's always thinking about his children. He do. Chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah, took them. Then the king of Assyria sent Rezabab with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem, and he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the full field, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household. Zebad, the scribe, and Joab, the son of Asher, the recorder, came out to him. Then the Rezabeth said to him, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus said the great king of Assyria, what confidence in this in which you trust? I say you speak of having cleansed and power for war, but they are mere words. Now whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, it is not he who is high places and who alters. Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you should worship before this altar. Now therefore I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I'll give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to put riders on them. How then will you repel one captain of least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I not come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Ezra, Sheba, and Joah said to Rezabah, please speak to your servants in Amorite, for we understand, and do not speak to us in Hebrew, in the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But the Rezabah said, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? My God, they're going to drink, who will eat and drink their own waste with you? Then the Rezabah stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, hear the words of the great king of Assyria. Thus said the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present. Come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree. Every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware, lest Hezekiah persuades you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nation delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Apath? Where are the gods of Sisbon? Indeed, they delivered Samaria from my hand, Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, he cried out to God, and God told him, I will deliver you. I will deliver you. But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Elkan, the son of Hiddah, who was over the household of Sheba, the scribe, and Joash, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Reshekah. Hezekiah cried out to God, and God had told him, keep still, don't say anything, I will deliver you. Sometimes you have to just stand, be quiet, be silent, and do exactly what the Lord God tells you to do, and you will see your deliverance. I will deliver you. That's the title. I will deliver you. Going back to life lessons. Isaiah 35:2, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Although we can experience some of the glory and excellency of God right now, we see in a mirror dimly. One day, however, we will not only see his glory, we will share in it. We look forward to a time when God's goodness and righteousness will bless every believer in an unmeasured way, and will be banished all evil, pain, and grief. Our sorrows now cannot compare to our joy then. You know, sometimes we have sorrows, and that's real and true. But just hold on. He said, hold on. It cannot compare to our joy then. It's just like a woman in childbirth, a woman giving birth to a baby, and we having birth pains. And my Lord, birth pains are horrible. They are terrible. But then once that baby is born and you see that little baby girl or that little baby boy and it's in the image of you and your husband, man, you don't even think about birth pains. You are so happy. The baby is here. Carolyn's daughter, Chelsea, had been put on bed rest because she's having a baby girl. And I know her time is coming soon, and when that little baby girl is born to her, everything that she's went through is nothing compared to the joy of seeing a newborn baby. I mean, that's the most beautiful thing. It's just beautiful. And it said, our sorrows now cannot compare to our joy then. I mean, God knows exactly what he's doing. You might be sorrowful, but when that child is born, you have so much joy. Life examples. The making of an encourager. Sometimes it takes only one little word or a smile or holding up somebody's hand. Sometimes it means standing by someone during a particular hard time and helping him or her not give in to despair. Sometimes it takes just one word. I'm with you. Or I'm standing beside you. Can I help you? Can I do anything for you? You know, God sends people to people. And when you encourage somebody, that's coming from God Almighty himself. And it says sometimes it takes only one little word. What does encouragement mean to you? Can you recall a time when someone came alongside you for the sole purpose of lifting your spirits or making you smile? I think all of us know a time when somebody said something at the right time. It's beautiful when you say something at the right time to encourage a person and you're saying the right words that they need to hear. Those words are not really from you. The words are from God himself. Sometimes he sends you to people. Like when I was in Los Angeles and I turned around and I said something to the lady and I hugged her. And she said, why did you do that? How did you know I needed to hear that? And I told her, I don't know. But I did know. It came from God. God told me to hug the woman and encourage her. And if you do what God tells you to do and say the words that he put in your mouth at the right time, a lot of times you don't know why you're saying different words to people. You really don't. But it comes from God. And then that person will know. Person will know that it came from God to lift them up, to encourage them.
Amen.
Have you ever done that for a hurting person? It feels good to know your love. It feels especially good in those low moments when you can't see ahead clearly, when you don't grasp God's perspective and vision for your life. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. I wonder how many times in the Bible God has told us, do not fear. We are fearful people. We're fearful of the unknown. He tells us, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come and save you. I will deliver you. I will answer your prayers. Be strong. Hold on. Don't be fearful. God has given each of us special tests within the body of Christ, and those with the gift of exhortation or encouragement can rejoice in their unique and tender ministries. But encouragement isn't strictly the domain of those to whom the Lord has given a special gift. It's not exclusively for those with naturally bubbly or warm personalities. Encouragement is the wonderful God-given function of everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the gift of encouraging people, especially when they have lost a loved one or they're down. I mean, just things happen on the job when they don't get the raise that they expected and know, you know, that it's due them. You can encourage them. You can lift their hearts. And you can turn, sometimes you can turn and look at a person and know that they're going through something. You might know not exactly what they're going through, but you can encourage that person. Be of a cheerful heart. This too will pass. It didn't come to stay. James Cleveland will say, this too will pass. So whatever you're going through, it's not here to last. It will pass. This too shall pass. It can't stay, but you got to go through it. Paul was talking about take the thorn out of my side and just take it out. And he asked God, take it out. I don't know what the thorn was. He said, take it out three different times. But God didn't. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace. He let Paul go through it. And Paul eventually went through it. He was happy to go through it. In the early days of the church, new believers badly need encouragement. Social pressures mount, persecution multiply, and a few have access to apostles' teaching. Very often, encouragement for the early church came in the form of a person. And that's true. God sends people to people, as it does today. Sometimes just the sight of a certain loved one can rejuvenate your spirit and remove your focus from yourself. Sometimes Paul sent Timothy. More than once he sent his associate, Theophilus, as a special envoy of joy. The ministry of encouragement, both to yourself and to the body of Christ, there's no such thing as a person who doesn't need encouragement. Everybody. I don't care who you are. He said to everybody at one time in their life need to be encouraged. You need to know that God is with you. You need to be around the body of Christ where people can lift you up in the same, you know, be with the same kind of people that you are, like-minded people that can lift you up. It said everybody needs encouragement. By seeking ways to daily build up those with whom you interact, you foster the potential for meaningful Christ-centered relationships. As Paul told the persecuted Thessalonians, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. Warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all people. He's telling you that you're going to run into people that really actually need you. God was sending out missionaries to comfort people, to edify people. You think in the year 2023 that everybody should have heard about Jesus Christ, but that's not true. A lot of us don't know the Lord. And, you know, it seems strange in this year, 2023, that they don't know who Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? But it's really true. You still are teaching and reaching out to people. You really are. Life lesson, Isaiah 36 and 7. It is not he whose high places and who altars Hezekiah had taken away. Those who do not know the Lord simply cannot understand what a real life of faith is all about. That's just what I was talking about. There are people in the world who don't know the Lord. I mean, the gospel has been here for, 2,000 years? And there's people that do not know the Lord. Hezekiah removed those altars, of course, because God told him to. Religious expression does not necessarily mean spiritual reality. And there's yet people that don't know the Lord. And our lesson is, I will deliver you. Hezekiah cried out to the Lord. He shed tears and he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord said, I will deliver you. Hold your peace. Just hang on. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, that man was bragging. Have God delivered anybody else from my hand? I mean, you can cry out to your God all that you want. He haven't delivered anybody else. So don't think he's going to do it. Don't listen to Hezekiah. You won't be delivered. But God told him, hold your peace. I'll deliver you. Isaiah 36:15, the Lord will surely, he will surely, Hezekiah was praying, the Lord will surely deliver us. People try to make us doubt the existence and the power and the love of God all the time. Well, what they're doing, they are atheists and they don't want you to believe in God. They don't believe and they try to keep you from believing. But you got to know that you know that you know that you know when the atheists and people come around and try to make you doubt God. You got to know. You yourself have to know. They try to make you doubt the existence and the power and the love of God all the time. They will encourage us to get with the program and be smart, abandon what they see as religious nonsense. But you know what? God still rules. God still rules.
Amen. Yes, he does.
It says God still rules and reigns. And you can't let people like Jehovah Witness come in and talk to you. You don't, God said don't even bid them high. Don't let them in your door. Because, you know, a lot of times people are not strong against Jehovah Witnesses. So don't let them in. You don't have to listen to them. God is just beautiful. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And I'm going to turn this back into the hands of our pastor. This is a beautiful morning. It's raining.
But you know what, Mother? I'm looking out my window, and it is so green. I mean, it is just so beautiful and green. And I'm looking at the trees, and, you know, this is falling. The leaves are supposed to fall in, but I'm looking at this tree. I have some evergreens in my front yard. I have a few evergreens, and I have one evergreen that I can see from the window of my room that I'm doing this broadcast from. And I'm looking at the front yard, and I can see the traffic going by, but I can see green, just beautiful green. And then as you look, you can see the sky just peeking out, and it's, you know, it is a kind of grayish day, but it's still beautiful when you think about how good God is. Even as we are going into cooler weather, God still keeps some green in it. It's just something about the growth and the love that God has for us. And, you know, I was thinking about what you were saying. You know, this man comes, and then he's going to tell them, oh, he didn't do nothing for, and names off all these countries that God didn't save. But the thing is, what he didn't understand was they were countries that didn't believe in God. They were countries
Amen.
That were not of his chosen. You hear messing with God's chosen people talking all this trash. He didn't understand what he was coming up against. He didn't understand you don't play with God and you don't play with mess with God's children because you're going to get surprised. And I believe that he had a surprise of his existence when he goes home. Come on now. Because God said, oh, not today. You know, I can almost hear God say, not today, Satan. Keep it moving. You're not going to do anything
Amen.
Here because I got this one covered. This is my people. And I cover my family. Hey, I cover my family. And that's what we
Amen.
Have to have a covering. And God is our covering. And as we go into chapter 37 of Isaiah on this Old Testament body, and it says, and so it was when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Where did he go? Into the house of the Lord.
House of the
Lord. Did he take it to the phone mother? Uh-uh. He took it to the throne.
No.
He went into the house of the Lord, Elohim, who was over the house of Shimna, the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. But the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rashaka, whom he, his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God. Note, to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Because remember, when he said the remnant that is left, remember that the children of Israel, the other 10 tribes actually, have disappeared. They're gone. They've been taken into captivity. And so this is the remnant. This is Judah that is still here with some Benjamin in it. And it's saying here, he said, now, we asking you to cover us. And so the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus said the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.
Amen.
Everything that the Lord told his prophet is what happened. Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warned against Lebanon, where he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Jerahaka, king of Ethiopia, he had come out to make war with you. So when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the king of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan, Horan, Razabah, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Shapharvim, Hena, and Iva? And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Shirin the Shirin. when he has
Amen.
To reproach the living God. He went on his knees. He took it to the throne. And he asked, he prayed, he cried, and he asked to deliver them. God hears our prayers. He said, truly, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their land and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your servant you have reproached the Lord and said, by the multitude of my chariots, I have come up to the height of the mountain, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall. I will enter its farthest height to its fruitful fort. I have dug and drunk water, and with the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of Ephraim. Did you not hear long ago how I made it from ancient times that I formed it? Come on now. How now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities and digging to ruins. Therefore the inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb, as the grass on the housetop and the grain lighted before it is grown. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, and your rage against me, because your rage against me and your torment have come up to my ears. Therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. God's like, please, don't come into over here talking trash, because I'm going to show you who the boss is. And it is
Amen.
Not King Shalmaneser. It is not you, Rushism. It is not any of y'all in Assyria. Let me tell you something. And then he goes on to say, this shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself. And the second year, what springs from the same. Also in the third year, sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant. And those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. But I will defend this city.
Hallelujah.
For my own sake and for my servant David's sake. God's like, I'm not playing with these people. You coming in here talking all this mess, trying to scare my people? I'm not made by
Amen.
Hands. I'm not
Hallelujah.
That idol made by the hands of men. God wasn't playing that. You know, you thinking, we're going to burn. You can't burn my God. You can't burn him. You can't touch him. You can't feel him, because he is everywhere doing everything, and he will knock you on your behind. Come messing with my God. As I say, don't mess with my daddy. Come on now. And it says, then the
Amen.
Angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Can I say that again? 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Shirena Shareb, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home and remained in Nineveh. Now it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adramelech and Sharezah, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Arad, which is today, modern-day Turkey. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. Now King Tarshish sending his ruler Rosh-Shekin to talk trash. And what happens? He gets killed by his own children. Don't play with God. Send your messengers to talk trash to the people of God, because you will find yourself on the other end of a sword. Don't talk about God, and don't talk about God's people, because God is in control of everything. And as we go into chapter 38, and Mother, I'm going to let you read chapter 38 as I go back and get a couple of life lessons from 37.
Amen.
And then I'll be back in chapter 40, chapter 39 and 40. To finish
Amen.
Us off. Actually, Mother, you can actually go ahead and read chapter 39, and I'll finish us off in chapter 40. And it says, lift
Amen.
Up your prayer for the remnant. Individual prayer. Dr. Stanley knows that he just gets to me every time I read these life lessons. They hit your heart. God rest his lovely soul. And it says individual prayer is crucial. Can I say that again? Individual prayer is crucial, but corporate prayer is also important. Our pastor says it all the time, and I admit I am a guilty party, that I don't always make prayer at 5 o'clock. I make choir rehearsal at 6, and I get there about 5:30, quarter to 6 for some parts of prayer. But I know I need to be there for the whole hour of prayer. Jesus asked his disciples, will you pray with me? Will you stay awake? And they slept.
Amen.
We don't want to sleep through Jesus coming. We don't want to sleep and not pray. We got to pray, and we need to start making corporate prayer. And I'm speaking to myself. Again, I don't always make it, but I'm looking at God and saying, Lord, help me to make it, because Tuesdays are my one really day off, and some Saturdays. And so I try to get everything I got to do into Tuesday, doctor's appointments, and sometimes just sleep is on Tuesday. So I have to try to do better time management and not schedule my appointments when it's close to time to go into prayer. But it says this throughout the Bible, we see godly leaders organizing their people to pray as a group. But how can we pray corporately if we never gather with God's people? We got to start encouraging each other. I'm going to prayer on Tuesday. Will you join me? I'm going to prayer on Tuesday. Will you join me? I'm going to prayer on Tuesday, sister. Will you join me? We got to start talking it up, and all of us surprising our pastor and coming to corporate prayer. And I tell you something, when there is great corporate prayer, there is great choir rehearsal and a move of God. I tell you. Shout out to our choir director. We are doing so much better because the Holy Spirit has come in. And when we get excited and happy on Tuesday night, it comes in on Thursday night, and then it comes in again on Sunday. We got to get excited ourselves. You can't just come up and sing a song, an A and B selection, sit down and think you did something. You got to bring in Judah. And it says this in Isaiah 37:20, God save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Our enemies will often try to convince us that he is not worth trusting. This was Satan's tactic in the Garden of Eden. Still uses the same tactic today. Yet Hezekiah prayed that God might act on Judah's behalf. so that the world might know that he is Lord. We should do the same. I give it over to you, Mother. Chapter 38.
Amen. Chapter 38. In those days, Hezekiah was sick near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, prayed to the Lord, and said, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with the loyal heart, have done what is good in your sight." Hezekiah wept bitterly. I mean, he cried out to God, "God, I've been truthful. I've walked before you in truth with the loyal heart and did what is good in your sight, and I'm getting ready to die." He didn't want to die. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, "Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Surely I will add to you days, 15 years. He cried out to God. God told him, "Boy, I see your tears. I'm going to give you 15 more years to live." So Hezekiah, he knew that he had 15 more years. "I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And God said, I will deliver this city." And he gave him a sign. "And this is a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which have gone down with the sun, on the sundial of Hez, 10 degrees backwards." God gave him a sign. He cried out to God. And God told him, "You shall live and not die." I mean, only a God, only our God can change things like that. I mean, God can do that. Is there anything too hard for God? No,
no.
Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. This is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered. He recovered from his sickness. He recovered because he cried out to God. "God, I've had a loyal heart. I've done what is good in your sight." And he started crying. He didn't want to die. God gave him 15 years. He had been sick, and he recovered from his sickness. I said, "In the prime of my life, I should go to the gates of Shiloh. I am deprived of the remainder of my years." I said, "I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I said, observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loop, from the day until night, and you make an end of me. I have considered into mourning like a lion, so he breaks all my bones. From day into night, you make an end of me, like a crane or a swallow. So I chatter, I moan like a dove. My eyes swell from looking upward. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Oh, Lord, by these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live? Indeed, it was for my own peace that I have great bitterness. But you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pits of corruption. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. So from Shiloh cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you, and I do this day. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. The Lord was ready. He was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs with string instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Now, Isaiah has said, let them take a lump of figs, apply it as a pollock on a ball, and he shall recover. And Hezekiah has said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? The Lord told Isaiah, you're going to live. You will live and not die. Isn't that beautiful? Mm. You're going to live, boy. You will not die. And I know he had to be happy because God also told him, I will deliver you. I will deliver you. And this other king was saying, what other gods have delivered their people? Everybody have fallen before me. But see, the other gods were the works of men's hands. And Hezekiah, his God was the true living God. He was the only God. He was the real God. And if God said, I will deliver you, then he's going to deliver you. All you have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Chapter 39, Isaiah 39:1-31, it said, at that time, Medraga-Babel, the son of Babel, king of Babylon, sent letters and presents to Hezekiah, for he heard that he'd been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, silver and gold, the spices and purses, ointment and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? And so Hezekiah said, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be Enochs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth. At least there will be peace and truth in my days. That means that in the days of Hezekiah, there will be truth and peace in my days. I guess if he hadn't shown the people from Babylon everything that was in his house, maybe this wouldn't have happened. But he did. He showed them everything, everything that was in his house. And sometimes it's not good. It really is not good to let people in your house. I guess he was showing them all his treasures, and he was proud of the things that the Lord had given him, and he showed them everything. A lot of times it's not good to do that. It wasn't good for Hezekiah to do that. For Isaiah the prophet
was not
told, you're going to be carried to Babylon and nothing shall be left, says the Lord. They're going to take some of your sons who descend from you.
And make them eunuchs.
And they're going to
which means that they can't reproduce. Come on now.
Amen. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Yeah, when they make the sons eunuchs, they can't reproduce. They can't have children. And, you know, in other words, there wouldn't be no progeny. There would not be any. He says, you know, the sins from you whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs. And then he's like, oh, it's all right with me. I got 15 years to live, so they ain't coming till after I'm gone. You know, and in a way, that was kind of a tacky attitude when, you know, maybe you should have been saying, preparing your sons and preparing your daughters, you know, to fight, to do whatever, maybe sending some away so that they wouldn't be here during that captivity. But, you know, sometimes we can be kind of selfish. And I'm saying we, meaning parents and folks that are supposed to be the loving and the kind, can be kind of callous. It's not about me. I won't be here. You know, folks that don't leave insurance for their children. I mean, I'm just going to keep it real. We'll be hitting chapter 40. On Sunday with Sunday's New Testament Psalm and Proverbs. So God just put him on and said, because he didn't think about the future. He just said, well, hey, it's all good with me. And again, that's like families that don't get health insurance, that don't get life insurance, don't get mainly life insurance. Because how do you think generational wealth is created? It's created through life insurance. You know, you buy houses, you buy property, things that in value and not decrease in value. And that's how you create generational wealth for your children. And then you teach your children, don't spend everything that you get. You know, put some stuff aside. You know, save some money. You know, put something aside for that rainy day because rainy days come. You know, I'm speaking because I have had my rainy days and have needed what I needed. And there have been times that I needed and didn't have because I didn't look far enough down the road. But we have to make sure that we leave something. You know, there is nothing, and I'll say it again, there is nothing sadder than GoFundMe to take care of funerals for families and not having church homes. You know, folks need to find a church home. And you have the folks that claim, they'll say, I'm a bedside Christian. I'm a bedside. I go to bedside church of me and mine. Okay. Bedside church of you and yours. You know, I go to T.D. Jakes' church online. But if you die tomorrow, will T.D. Jakes come and speak at your funeral? Will a member of T.D. Jakes' church come and speak at your funeral? No, because they don't know you. Where's your local pastor? Knows you by name. Knows your faith. Knows your family. You know, has been to see you in the hospital. Those are the ones that we need to be looking at. We can't have that as a guy speaking. At least there will be peace and truth in my days. We got to look to the future. And we got to teach our children. And I say this to everybody listening. If you do not have life insurance, get a policy. Get something so you don't leave that burden on your family. Don't do that. Not right. Get some life insurance. You can get it depending on how young you are. You can get $1 million policy for little or nothing. You can get a $50,000 policy for nothing. You can get a burial policy, because burials are running from, I'd say, it's depending on how long and how old and what you want. It can be up to $20,000 for a burial. And I'm speaking this. I had to bury my husband 13 years ago, and it was not cheap. Praise the Lord. We had money. But there are people that don't. Funeral homes go out of business because folks don't pay their bills. We got to get insurance. And so as we go back to a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, somebody says about you doesn't determine your destiny. God does. Have a fantastic Friday. Again, Rob Sticker talking all that trash, telling Israel, oh, we're going to take you. No other gods can protect their people. We burned them, all of this, talking all that trash. And basically telling these people that they had no recourse. But as Sister Carolyn, always on point, what somebody said, the Shirinajrab, the kings of Assyria, about you doesn't determine your destiny. God does. Mm-hmm. God said, I will deliver you. We better understand he will deliver us. Trust in the Lord today. Keep God first in everything you do. I, as God will tell us, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will deliver you. Trust God to deliver you from whatever it is, whatever you're going through. God has you covered. And as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. One from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. We pray over you and yours. We lift you up. We give you to God. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Come back and join me as we read Isaiah chapter 40. Finish up 2 Corinthians. and we will be starting in Galatians on Sunday. So I'm excited. We got a lot of great word coming up on Sunday. Thank you, Mother Valerie. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Stay warm because it's a little chilly today. So if you don't have to go out, stay home nice and cozy because it is just a good day for some nice hot apple cider or a cup of nice warm tea and a nice blanket. Just having a good time. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Mother, again. May God watch over all of you, keep you covered under the blood of Jesus, that you do not worry, because God has heard your prayer. He has seen your tears, and he will deliver you from whatever you're going through. It's only a test, and God will bring you through it, because he won't bring you to it unless he can bring you through it. Have a great day, family. Mother, have a wonderful weekend again. And for all of those that are listening in, it is a what? It's a wrap. Because I got to go to work.
It's a wrap. And Pastor, don't work too hard. Stay out of the rain. Stay covered. We love you. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
The feeling is mutual, Mother. It's a wrap, everybody. Have a great day. Oh, I got a church announcement before you go. A church announcement just came over my phone. And I just want to share it with you really quick. And it is from Abundant Faith Christian Center. And it is, good morning. They are celebrating with Pastors Rick and Donna Shelton. Tonight, worship of the word. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., table talk. And Sunday, hope more of the same. See ya. It starts tonight at 6:30. So if you are out and about, it is Abundant Faith 30th year. Wow, what an awesome time. And still moving forward. So I will do my very best to be at their celebration tonight because I love me some Pastor Rick. So I will be there 6:30 tonight. Come join me at AFCC, which was my original church home when I came back to the Lord. And I wouldn't be sitting here if it was not for AFCC. So I thank God for Pastor Dolph and Pastor Gita. Thanking God for all of you. And a shout out to my sister in Christ, Jessica Pickens, who will always be dear to my heart. Because she is the one that said, girl, you know you need to be back in church, and didn't take no for an answer. So I'm grateful for that and always will be. So thank you so much, family. Have a great day. The church announcements are over. And for those that joined us last Saturday at the Table of Life for our women's conference, thank you so much. We had a great time. Thank you and have a great day. God bless you. God keep you. And may his face shine upon each of you, giving you grace. Thank you so much, Mother. That was the church announcement. I don't know if you can make it, but they are having something tonight and tomorrow morning at Abundant Faith. You know, when you show yourself friendly, you open doors for folks to come to you too. So thank you so much. Be blessed. This is official, Mother. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.